Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Jacob's Well. So before we get started with everything else, we know it's real hot in here. We know it. You know it. So we have some popsicles for kids or kids at heart. If y'all want to like go run down there and get some of those and say hi to Maya. And there's also some over here with Evan. He's got some as well. So if you're feeling real hot, go get one of those popsicles. I don't care how old you are.
So yeah, it's a warm day. It's a good thing you're such a cool church, right? You're cool people.
Yeah.
Hey. So what are we doing today, Paul?
Yeah, so I'm Paul. This
and I'm
is Greg.
And the Paul and Greg show.
Yep, that's right. And we just wanted to wish you a memorable or happy or thoughtful Father's Day. For a lot of people, this is a happy day. For a lot of people, Father's Day weekend is kind of a sad time. So wherever you're at, we hope you're getting the support you need. And we hope that you can get the support you need in this community.
You know, can I just throw a little commercial in on this?
Sure.
You didn't know I was going to say this either, but...
I don't. I
was gone all week, so kind of missed the news, but I was talking to my wife yesterday... And you've been hearing about all the detentions and separations of children and their families at the border in Mexico. And without getting into anything political, immigration truly is a complicated issue that we need to sort out together. But keeping families together on a day, especially when we're trying to reflect on Father's Day, is kind of important. And I think we all need to work on, like, how can we solve these problems and not separate parents from their kids. And so we as a community stand for that and encourage you to find your voices and ways to do that constructively through whatever channels you have and whatever sides of whatever spectrums you're on. But I think that's one thing we stand for, is keeping people together.
Yeah, and it really goes along well with what we've been talking about. We've been talking about third way thinking for the last few months. Third way is where you find yourself stuck in some situation where you're fighting with somebody or maybe you're fighting with yourself and you're looking for a third way out of that situation. So we've been talking about third way relationships for this last month. And today we're going to be talking about third way parenting. Now, parents or non-parents, I know you've heard it said that your kid needs the best education, the best teachers, the best schools, the best neighborhoods, the best yards, the best sports equipment, the best toys, the best shoes, the best clothes.
We all want the best for our kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
We want that because we want our kids to be the best they can be. In fact, you do have an outline on the back of your Sunday paper. Turn that over, follow along if you want. And that's one of the things is that we want the kids to be the best they can be. And I mean, who wouldn't want that to be? That's another thing we've been talking about through third way relationships is how we understand our own hopes, dreams, and desires. And that's, as a father, one of my hopes, dreams, and desires is my kids can be the very best they can be. So how am I going to get them there? I mean, that's the big question.
Well, and I was just going to say, not only like you as a father, but me as a person who has no kids at all, I also want your kids and the kids here to be the best they can be, because someone is going to have to take care of me when I get old. And someone's going to have to figure out Social Security and healthcare and all of these big issues and immigration that we've been talking about. And I want your kids to be the best they can be so they can figure it out for me.
You want them to take care of
me. I want them to take care of it for me.
Okay, Paul, that's like you're getting part way there. That's true.
Yeah.
But okay, so good enough.
Yeah, we all want the best for our kids. It gets to this idea of fulfillment and this idea of self-actualization. Some of you are probably familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs up here. It's a pyramid. And on the bottom, you kind of have your physical needs, so your like psychological needs and your safety needs. And then you have emotional needs, things like belonging and then like feeling accomplishment. And then finally, at the top of this triangle, you have a need for self-actualization. And that just means you have a need for growth and fulfillment, for finding meaning. It's that growth plus purpose that we all really, really need in our lives. The problem is we don't quite know how to meet those self-actualization needs.
But so we do know, right? I mean, it's giving our kids more stuff, right? We're giving those messages all the time, our kids. Now, so kids out there, what could your parents give you that would make you happy? Isaiah, what would make you?
All the drones in the whole entire world.
All the what?
Drones.
All the drones.
He wants all the drones. What else? What do you want your parents to give you? A puppy. Okay. Puppy. What else? What? You, let's hear from more kids. Come on. Who else has got? What would you want your parents to give you to make you happy? A popsicles.
Oh, that's easy.
Done.
That's all you need for self-actualization.
We replaced your
puppies,
parents.
Puppies, drones, and popsicles.
What else? Avdon. A thousand Lego sets. Yeah. Say again. Xbox Cobra? Okay. Right. So
we all know kind of.
We've heard it, right? So
yeah.
Parents, you just found out what would make your kids happy. So you're going to go and do that now? Go get the puppy. All right? Get the Xbox. Get the popsicles. You can fill up the freezer. Done. Took care of your kids. They're all happy. Okay, we're going to move on from there. So what do you think about parents? You think that's going to work? You know, and that's one of the things about this, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That basic level of, you know, safety and stuff that's like clothes, shelter, healthcare, stuff like that. I mean, those are providing things. We do need to earn a living. We do need to provide for our kids. But after that, you get into these more emotional, these relational needs, and buying stuff for your kids doesn't really do that. I mean, that's more an area of support. And then you get to the top one, where the self-actualization is still supposed to take place. And buying stuff for your kids, is that going to do that? I mean, I think one of the myths is that as dads, we are taught, and we kind of grow up thinking that my job is to be the provider. I got to bring home the bacon. I'm going to make sure everything is okay by providing enough money so that we can have the stuff we need. But it's sort of like we turn Maslow's hierarchy of needs, instead of like these basic life needs and these emotional needs and self-actualization, we turn it into lower class, middle class, upper class. And we somehow think if we can get our kids all the way top to providing up to the upper class, our kids are going to be successful.
Yeah, providing the best for your kids is not the best for your kids. It's unfortunate. I wish it was the case. I wish it was that simple where you just had to, you could provide your way towards self-actualization, but you really can't. In fact, like, I think there's a lot of times where trying to provide your way out of that situation, trying to get it out of those self-actualization needs by providing more stuff, that kind of bites you.
Right. I had a classic example. So when I was an intern, like Paul's an intern, I was in charge of a youth group. And we had one kid in our youth group whose family had a lot more means than any other families. And this is back in an era where people didn't do a lot of the exotic vacations that we do now and stuff like that. So, but their family went to the Caribbean every winter, you know, around Christmas time. They'd go to the Caribbean. And the mother came to talk to me one day about her son, who was in middle school at this time, saying that, you know, he was giving them such a fuss because he didn't want to go on the family vacation if they went to the island he didn't want to go to. You know, it's like, it wasn't his fault, right? I mean, it really wasn't the parents' fault, but they had bought into this myth that if we keep providing our child with something, he's going to grow up to be whatever our healthy definition of successful was, and it wasn't doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's easy to satirize that kid and to make fun of him, but we all kind of do this to a little bit. We all think, oh, if I just had a new bike, then I would hit that self-actualization, or if I had a new car, or if I got a new yard or anything like that. And in fact, this is an old, old problem. This is in fact something Jesus talked about. And Jesus was thought of as a rabbi or a teacher of sorts in his time. And so people would come to him for advice. And at one point, a young man came to him and said, hey, help me get a bigger share of my family's inheritance. You're a fair guy, Jesus. Just help me take care of it. And Jesus tells him, be careful, take guard. For one's life is more than accumulating possessions. One's life is about more than collecting many things. And he goes on to tell this story. There was a rich man, a very rich man, who had massive fields. And when harvest time came, he had a ton of grain. In fact, he had so much grain that it filled up all of his barns. And so rather than like giving away the grain or like giving it to his neighbors, he said, you know what, I'm going to just tear down my old barns and build even bigger barns. So that way I can have more grain and be more happy. And he continues to build these barns. And then finally, on the night that the barns are completed, in this story, God comes to him and says, you fool, your life is being taken from you tonight. You're dying tonight. And what do you have to show for it? What do you have?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get to take it with you. There's a a very, very famous cemetery in L.A. I'm blanking on the name. Is it Lakewood, Lakeview? I know Lakewood's here, but anyway. So the story is about the tour going through, pointing out all the celebrities and the famous people that were buried in very elaborate ways. I mean, it's an over-the-top cemetery, right? And as the tour bus is going through, the guy, the driver is, you know, telling a story about this one grave was this very wealthy man, and he was buried in his brand new convertible Cadillac, sitting in the front seat with a bottle of Jim Beam in one hand and a cigar, a Cuban cigar, in the other hand. And one of the people on, when one of the guys on the bus, when he heard that, said, "Now that's living."
No, it's not. He was dead.
Yeah. I mean, you,
that doesn't count.
You don't, I don't think to... that counts as taking it with you.
No. That bottle isn't open.
Right.
Let somebody else enjoy it.
So we don't self-actualize through having stuff and through providing.
Yeah, and so how do we actually get to that self-actualization? How do we meet that need? Well, you've got to get to the corner of support and challenge. And you'll see on your Sunday paper, we have this growth zone chart. And on the right, you have comfort. And I'm guessing a lot of you know the comfort zone, a place where things are calm. You're maybe like watching a lot of Netflix. You're just kind of chilling. Things are going okay. You're not really growing.
You shop at the stores you've always shopped at. You drive the same way to work. You associate with people that you already know and are comfortable with. Nothing to disturb your routine.
Yeah,
Status quo is the name of the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
keep
you're
it
comfortable.
Under control.
You're in sweatpants 24/7.
Yeah, it's just figuratively,
it's,
literally.
It's fine. It's fine. And I'm guessing a lot of you also know this danger zone where you are so anxious or so fearful about what's happening, you don't feel like you have any support whatsoever, that you can't act. You can't grow at all because you're so scared. Maybe this happens at work. Maybe this happens in parenting. Maybe this happens in dating. You're paralyzed. And so you're not growing. And I think not only can you get paralyzed in this danger zone, you can also get paralyzed in this comfort zone where you kind of just have like all the nice things and like you're just kind of sitting back and you're not really growing. If you looked back 5 years, you'd be about the same person that you were 5 years ago, not really improving or finding more meaning in your life. And you can also find this paralyzing in this danger zone when you get paralyzed by fear.
Risk,
fear and anxiety
like
and all of that stuff.
So this idea of support and challenge. So I want to try this out. I need a volunteer to do this with. Some kid who's around here. Got a volunteer? Oh, Isaiah, come on down, Isaiah. I am amazed you took this risk. Hi, I'm Greg. So here's what I want you to do. No, don't look. All right, so Isaiah, this is a challenge, okay? I want to give you this cup, all right? And I'm going to pour some water in this cup, all right? Here, come over by me so you're standing, so people can see it, okay? All right, you good for this? I know you don't, but you will. So I poured some water in this cup. Now I want you, here, stand right next to me. Stand next to me, face these people so they can see. I'll stand next to you. All right, so I want you over this, because I'm not sure you know how to do this yet, I want you to turn that upside down without pouring the water out. Try it, turn it upside down. I don't think it worked. Okay, so can I try it? All right.
Also, I have to use one of those.
I'm gonna try it in my cup, all right? So so this is the deal. No, just. So, you know, you gotta kind of be patient about this and you gotta really think about it and be ready and gotta say some magic words and stuff like that. And you know, you have to have some experience to do these things. So do you think I can pour it? Oh, a little bit. All right, so you kind of gave it away.
Thankfully, we have lots of examples.
So I poured water in this one. So.
Yeah, that's the support.
So that was the support. So, yeah.
Oh, yes. This is...
We have another challenge and support around, like, how do you don't give it away? But that'll be another one. So, but that is the idea. So just try, this is just an example of, you can have a challenge that's really hard to do, but if you get some support, you can figure out how to do it. So thanks, Isaiah. You can go back to your seat.
Definitely. So now I want you to think of a challenge area or a struggle thing, maybe that a struggle area in your life. Maybe that's work, maybe that's a relationship, maybe that's something with your father. Something that you feel like is a struggle for you, and figure out where you're at in here along this chart. Are you more in the comfort zone? Are you more in the growth zone? Are you more in the danger zone? And I want you to draw a vertical line on your Sunday paper. And this is important because we're going to reference this.
What would your example of this be? What's a challenge that's going on in your life that you're...
No, that's fair. So I start when I'm just going to talk about churches. And when I started seminary, I'm a seminary student right now, I was very much in the comfort zone of like, you know, I'm going to go to seminary, and then I'm going to graduate, and then I'm going to go to a church that was pretty much like the church I was raised in. We're going to do things the same way. Maybe I'll be like 5% innovative. Like, I'll change 5% of the stuff, but most of the stuff is just going to stay the same. So I was very much in the comfort zone. And then when I started internship, Greg said, I hope to ruin you for regular church.
How have I done?
Well.
Okay.
And it's been a huge push. I have felt really challenged and also supported, where I feel like I'm much closer to this growth zone. And I don't honestly know what the future of that looks like. I don't know what my future looks like in the church, but I feel like I'm in the growth zone with that, and I'm looking forward to what happens next.
Right. I would say a lot of things in my life that are challenges, but one of them would be our family. My kids are grown up, and a couple of them are married and have significant others. So I adjusted some years ago to our kids being adults, and that was actually quite welcome and easy. But as they become their own entities and have their own momentums as families, trying to negotiate what does our relationships look like and so on, that's a challenge. And I would put myself... somewhere on the danger side of growth zone. Like, this is a hard one. I don't think I quite have that handled yet. I feel supported and so on, but I'd be on that paper. I would be a little bit to the right of growth.
Yeah. So
where are you? Yeah, where would you? Name one, write it on the top of that box. Say, for me is my family relationships. Maybe it's my transition at work. Maybe, how many of you are starting a new school in the fall? Like going to a middle school, going to senior high, maybe off to college. Yeah, I mean, that's a time like, wow, everything's different. In that, you got to figure out new relationships. What is it like to go to school? Homework's going to change, stuff like that. So there's a million things like that. Write what it is and then draw a little vertical line where you feel like you are right now.
So how do we get from this growth zone into self-actualization? How does being in the growth zone actually help us meet our self-actualizing needs?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen, but I think when we spend time in this growth zone, and this is really third way thinking, right? I mean, the stuck thinking is, I can't do it, or there's a stay in my comfort zone, and I'm gonna stay out of that danger zone, and do everything I can to avoid that. And we do a lot of them. That's very sucked. The third way thinking is saying, no, I can enter into that growth zone and I can be there. And when we do that, we find we develop some really important skills. One is it leads us to creativity. When I'm forced to do something I've never done before, all my old techniques, my ways of living, my ways of doing stuff don't work. So I've got to be creative. I've got to figure out new stuff. And that creativity is so important. It helps you discover who you can be and what you're all about. So it helps us with creativity. Another thing it does is it helps us develop resilience. And that resilience is enormous. Like, we try things and it doesn't work, but we bounce back and we try to do it. One of the things that we maybe underestimate, but probably the biggest factor for a person being resilient, is the fact that they have other people in their lives. Other people are your biggest resiliency components. And how's that happen? Well, when you're trying something, you get thrown into this place that was a danger zone for you before, and you're trying to claim as a growth zone, you find other people who have been there before. Have you done that over a health issue? Have you done that over a relationship issue, a parenting issue, a work issue? You also tap into other people who have ideas, or who maybe you find out who's encouraging you, who's on your side. You expand that crowd, and that helps you be more resilient. And then the last thing, after you realize that, hey, I actually can do this growth zone thing, like it isn't all scary, I can take stuff out of my danger zone and I can bring it into this growth zone and I can grow, I can be creative, I can be resilient, you develop confidence. And that's that third piece. It helps us develop confidence. And when you get confident about these things, you know, then you're not so intimidated by the next thing you run into that looks like it was part of your danger zone. You say, you know, I think maybe I can do that. I can do that because I've been creative before, I've been resilient, I've got my people, and I can do that. So that's really important.
Yeah, it makes me think of when I was like 15 years old and I went up to the Boundary Waters for the first time. For those of you who don't know, Boundary Waters is just like a giant park and there's lakes and then land and then more lakes. And so you gotta paddle and then like portage over the land and get to the next lake. And the way you do that is you take the canoe and you put it on somebody's back.
You're gonna talk about a canoe?
Yeah.
Well, we actually, there's one here today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why don't we bring it out?
Yeah, okay, cool.
So when I was a camper, I saw my guide do this cool thing called solo lifting. And when I first saw it, that was like way in the danger zone for me. Because you have to understand, I was not like the slim, svelte figure I am now. I was like a lot shorter and a lot less confident and a lot larger, I would say. Or probably about the same amount of largeness, but just shorter.
Compressed.
Just compressed. Yeah, that's right. And I was a lot weaker. And I honestly, I didn't really like my body that much. And so when I saw him do that, I was like, Devin, no way. That's like way out of my comfort zone. This is like way into the danger zone for me. But he met me at that corner of support and challenge. And he showed me it's actually not that hard. All you have to do is like get up next to it. And then you bring it up under your legs. And then get it up like this. Then reach your arm under. Then you do 1, 2, 3.
And you could do that when you were 14, 15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot easier when you're in the water because the canoe is lower. Or
the canoe is higher.
Yeah. But like just being able to do this was a huge increase in my creativity because I all of a sudden felt like I can do this while I'm on like rocky places. I can do it when everyone leaves me behind and just lets me take care of it myself. It also increased my resiliency because honestly, I failed while I was doing this a lot of times. I dropped the canoe or I slipped or like this canoe bashed me on the head. But every time Devin was meeting me, my canoe guide was meeting me at that corner of support and challenge and pushing me and saying, you can do this. And also like, you can do this. And finally, it gave me so much confidence. Like not only just in my abilities as like a canoe person, but like also in my body. Like I could never do anything like that before with my body. And so afterwards, being able to do it, it just led to a huge increase in confidence.
You started seeing yourself differently.
Yeah, well, definitely.
I want to hear no noise when it touches.
I know.
Silence.
It's a little easier on the water.
Apologies to those on the podcast. You just missed some fun there. But anyway, so this is cool. So like all I have to do to help my kids self-actualize, I just have to make sure that they have their challenge and their support and I'm good to go. Father's job done. Bingo. Easy. I can sit back.
Not really. Because you got to get in that growth zone too. Because this isn't one of those things where you can just like say to your kids like, you know what, you got to go in the growth zone, but I'm like actually pretty good. I'm going to hang out in this comfort zone. This is one of those things where modeling is just so important. And you'll notice when the people around you are modeling this growth zone, whether you're a parent or whether you don't have kids, if the people around you are modeling this growth zone, that makes you want to be there too. That makes you want to increase your meaning in your life and continue to grow and find purpose in everything.
Great, like worst Father's Day present ever. Now you're making me do the work again. But I get this modeling thing.
Yeah.
It really does come down to that. You practice it. You walk the walk.
Yeah,
walk the
definitely.
Talk.
So I want you to take your Sunday paper. You have that line that you drew on. For those of you that didn't take me seriously, draw a line now. And I want you to fold along that line. Just like this. For those of you following along on the podcast, we'll make a video of this and I'll show you later. So fold along that line and then open it up so you have the text this side facing out and then bring down a corner. and bring down another corner. If kids, if you want to get along in this, there's more Sunday papers over there. This is something you're aiming to do.
Aiming to do? I think I see where this is going, Paul.
Yeah, you do? And then take this and bring it down one more time.
So take the corner.
Yep.
And bring each, it. You got two corners there, and you're going to bring them to the center and fold them down.
Yep. And then bring that again to the center.
Do it on both sides.
Yep. And then I'm going to fold it like this. Sorry for those of you that don't have a table. This is way easier with a table.
You should have brought a canoe and a table today.
Yeah, right. And then one more time, you bring that corner down to that fold.
You fold it, now you fold it back the other way, right?
Yep.
This time you do it back the other direction.
I think it works both ways.
Oh, okay.
So this is your life, right? Are you who you want to be? Are your wings even? Because I can tell you, as someone who's thrown a lot of paper airplanes, if you're way off in the comfort zone, your airplane's just going to like, and it's not going to do what you want it to do. And same, if you're way in that danger zone and you're not feeling supported, you're going to throw your airplane and it's just going to fly off to the side. This is why being in that growth zone is so important, because I don't care what you're trying to do, whether that's be a successful father or be a better worker or be a first-time homeowner or whatever your goal is, whatever you're reaching for, whatever success looks like in your life, being in the growth zone is going to help you get there.
So I was a little to the right of my growth zone, so my wings aren't very balanced. But
yeah.
So I think when Katie printed these up, she was smart enough that if you're right on that growth zone, you've got a very well-balanced airplane,
definitely,
right?
Yeah, it should fly far, and it should do what you want it to do, and you should be able to go where you want to go. So I want you to take this airplane, hold it in your hands, and I want you to look at someone in the room that's either supported you or challenged you. Pick somebody out. Take a moment to do that. And I want you to hold this airplane, and I want you to throw it at them.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
I'm glad I could do that. So happy Father's Day to everybody. Get in that, when we talk about keeping your kid in the corner, this isn't a discipline story, it's that corner of support.
Yep.
This corner of challenge. So
yeah, support and challenge where they
meet.
Let's
do that and put life together.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.